It is time for our regular monthly feature, it's Vets Corner. Kirsten Simpson has joined us, and don't forget, if you have a question for our vet, do get in touch. You can call us on 0141 357 3518. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter, we're at RNIB Radio, or why not get in touch via the website as well. Hi Kirsten, how are we?
Hi, yeah, not bad actually, yeah. No, yeah,
do I detect a little cough there?
Yeah, I've got some bronchitis or something, but I'm not too bad, I'm getting better, it's fine.
I take it there's nothing in the medicine cabinet at work then that'll help?
Sadly, not legally.
Right, so what we're going to talk about today, bit of a general topic. Now, people often think of this probably around about Christmas time, but I imagine, you know, any time of year, families or individuals, couples may think to themselves, do you know what, I'd like a little puppy.
Yes, I think there's a lot more to think about now than I think there probably used to be, because obviously I think with folks' work lives and that as well, things have changed quite a bit as to what kind of dogs folk are going for more nowadays, and also what to do with them during the day as well. So yeah, it's a bit different from what it used to be, I think.
Indeed, because you have to be around, especially for a young dog as well.
Yeah, and even like rehoming centres too won't rehome certain dogs to certain families if someone's not home for a certain amount of time during the day, or if you haven't got a garden, that as well. So yeah, it's getting a bit more awkward to get some dogs sometimes.
Okay, so let's say that you have time. You've got the time, or one of you has the time to be with a puppy all the time.
Yeah.
It must be a really difficult thing to think, what kind of dog suits me? Because there's so many breeds and so many different temperaments.
Yeah, there are. I think definitely the change in the whole of the UK that we've seen with vets in general has been towards more kind of smaller pocket dogs. So I think certain breeds like pugs and Frenchies are a lot more popular than they used to be. And some of the kind of old traditional, like bigger dogs, like even some of the bigger spaniels, are a lot less common than they used to be now. So yeah.
Do you know, my daughter is pug crazy.
My pal's the same. Yeah, she's got two.
Pug. She wants a pug. Well, I've got a guide dog. So, you know, you can't really have sort of two dogs, especially when we work and things like that. But even little French bulldogs are rather cute as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've made a decision that you're going to look for a puppy, then, you know, where should you first of all source them, or are there good places to go for advice?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, if you didn't know what kind of dog you wanted to go for, or what kind of dog would fit your kind of environment at home or what you do, it's quite good to even to phone the Kennel Club, although they have had some bad press over the last few years, to phone them, have a chat with them, go to the different breeds you have in mind. They'll give you kind of pros and cons of the breeds and that as well. And even like some of the dog magazines do have sort of like monthly sections on like what dog breeds are like, how hard they are to walk, how much they need to eat, how they are to brush them and that as well. Mm. So yeah, you can find a good kind of breed club for a breed you're looking into, or going to some dog shows is quite good too. You can see different breeds, have a chat to everyone there as well. So yeah, doing your research first will help a lot.
I imagine the Kennel Club would be a good place to get recommendations from breeders.
Exactly, yeah. So if you wanted to get things done properly, I mean, some folk like to go and get a breeder that's got, you know, Kennel Club papers, and that's totally fine. You don't have to have them, but I think if they've got certain breeds, it'll prove. You can check certain things online. You can check if they had hip scores done and that as well. So there are some things that certain breeds are requiring now more that the Kennel Club are asking for, so you can guarantee they've had those things done properly.
If you're getting a brand new pup, then what's the best place to start with your vet? It seems pretty obvious that if I had a brand new dog, you know, not long born, it's go to the vet.
Yeah, you get some folk that kind of buy the dog and come straight in like an hour later, and we're always like, no, it's totally fine. Because with most normal breeders, they should have had at least, you know, some worming treatment on board before they've been given out, and maybe some flea treatment and that as well. Sometimes even like the first vaccination. So some folk like to come in, but we like to say, you know, keep them home for a day or so first of all, so they're nice and kind of chilled out, and you can see what they're like at home, because they can bring them into us the first day and we're like, oh, they look totally fine. They go home and they've got diarrhea because they haven't had them at home to see if that's normal for them or not as well. So have them home for at least kind of 40 hours to sort of check they're kind of getting on okay and what they're doing is normal and that as well.
If you're not aware if they've had this relevant boosters, inoculations and so on, would they just be given again?
Yeah, I mean, there are some folk that sort of think you can overdose them with vaccinations, but there's no real evidence for that so far. And I'd rather have a puppy that was fully vaccinated more than once than not at all, because even though, luckily, touch wood, I think in where we are in the nice part of Scotland, parvo isn't really endemic, but it can come in, obviously, because again, we are on the west coast of Scotland. There are obviously dodgy folk that bring dogs in from abroad or from Ireland and that aren't fully vaccinated, and puppy farms, basically. So that they are more prone to being unwell when they come across too, and they can transfer some conditions across.
When a new pup is vaccinated, is there a kind of time you should wait before they start to mix with other dogs?
It's kind of controversial. I think you have to kind of like play it a little bit by ear to some extent. The vaccine companies say really it should be last vaccination at 10 weeks. So usually the first one is like 8 weeks and 10 weeks. And then they can't really go out or socialise for like 1 to 2 weeks after that. But obviously then between 10 and 12 weeks is the best time to get them socialised. They learn so much. So what we say is if they've got other dogs in the house, or other family friends who've got dogs that are fully vaccinated, after the first vaccination, a few days after that, they can come around and socialise with them, and they'll have some protection on board at that point, because it's a balancing, a rock and a hard place between like having the dog well socialised versus the risks of it possibly getting something as well. So yeah, it is kind of a sort of, you know, case-by-case basis, definitely.
That to me sounds crucial then, that socialising with other dogs and other people at a really early age does a lot of good for the dog's temperament behaviour.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, I think if you start off when they're very, very young, I mean, if you know you're going to be travelling on the train every day or on the bus every day, get them used to that when they're quite wee, carrying them around. So obviously, although they can't go outside on the ground till they're over 10 weeks old, if they're quite wee, like, you know, obviously not like a huge Great Dane puppy, probably quite a lot of work, but a smaller dog, even a Labrador, like a few hours a day, walk around outside with them, get them used to the sights and the sounds of the street. Other folk can come up to them and pat them and chat to them too, so they're used to other folk chatting them too. So yeah, I think the first like few weeks of them is a lot to kind of have to fit in, and you have to kind of do that properly, or else you can't have dogs that are hate traffic or are very nervous around strangers. And so getting them nice and fulfilled from a young age is the best thing.
And get them into puppy classes, obedience classes.
At our work, we have puppy classes that run for about 4 weeks after second vaccination, and it's great. It's a total rammy, like all the dogs come in, run around. If it's nice weather, go outside in the garden and play with the toys and that as well. And everyone that comes in says it's a good thing, because the dogs then love coming to the vets and kind of like think it's a fun place to be, and so it makes them more relaxed there too. But also, yeah, I mean, definitely you can get dogs that want, you want them to get a bit more training on board, so yeah, you can go down the kind of puppy class and that as well, like training way.
Okay, so if we were to look at things like vaccinations, worming, flea treatments, what's the kind of, you know, timetable for doing things like that and the regularity of it?
So yeah, usually, I mean, with worming, it varies from breed to breeder. Ideally, the mum should have been wormed first of all, and then the puppies get wormed about kind of like 2, 5 and 7 weeks, and then for about kind of like 8 weeks onwards every month until they're about kind of 6 months old. Flea treatment, it does kind of vary. I mean, most dogs when they come from a breeder have had at least one kind of spot-on applied, and obviously outside it varies. I mean, most flea treatment spot-ons last only a month. There are some tablets last sort of 3 months on that as well, so quite good to get started from that age as well. And vaccinations, they can get their first vaccine from 6 weeks old. Some folk don't like to do that from 6 weeks old, because there is some evidence that the mum's got some antibodies on board through the milk, and so if they've been weaned that long, it can interfere with the vaccination as well. So we just say sort of between 7 and 8 weeks first vaccination, second one at 10 weeks, and a week after that they can go outside, so you're getting them the kind of vital time to get them socialised, but also they're covered for everything as well.
And are vaccinations annual to boost?
Yeah, I mean, the basic one, obviously yes, there has been some controversy in the recent years as to how long the vaccines last for, but we have to go by what the vaccine companies say. Until they change their tune, we can't advise against that. So they get the full booster when they're puppies. They get a full booster at year one, and then it's a half vaccine for year two and year three. So other ones that are optional extras are kennel cough vaccine. It's not a core vaccination we give out automatically, but some folk want that and they get that as well. And all vaccines, for what we've got in our records, only last about a year.
Would a vet advise then on the type of dog the person has to things like diet, you know, what's best for them, perhaps give it an idea of their kind of ideal weight?
Yeah, we can give some advice, definitely. I think some breeders particularly come in and the folks come out with this whole list of food they've been told to give them. Like, oh, we get some puppies coming in and they're like, they get Weetabix first thing in the morning and then they get some porridge. And I'm like, this is not food that a puppy should be getting. They should get like just a good quality puppy food is totally fine. And again, some folk going down the kind of like raw or diet as well, which if done properly, I'm totally fine with. Some folk are quite anti it, but if done properly, it's not too bad. So yeah, some folk come in and don't have a clue. Some folk have an idea on board. And yeah, most folk are pretty much sort of picking the right kind of food for them as well. So obviously some dogs mature fast and other dogs and that as well. So dogs like Lhasa Apso's, you know, they're pretty much fully grown by like 9 months of age, so they're fine to change foods at that point. Whereas, you know, larger breed dogs like, you know, German Shepherds, Labradors, even like, you know, Great Danes aren't fully grown till about kind of 18 months, 2 years sometimes as well. So it's picking the right kind of food for that as well, definitely.
I know that dog food varies so much depending on the breeds as well. You know, you have the meat food, you have the dries, yeah, kibble foods and so on. Is it really just down to seeing what your dog likes?
Some dogs will never like wet food, some dogs will never like dry food. I think that a sort of mixture is quite good, so I'd always give sort of wet and dry together, because I think dry has been the most recent kind of, everyone loves dry food because I think it's give them a scoop, it's really easy, there's less mess, there's less smell, the dog's poos are smaller, it's great. But I think it's not a bad thing to give them some sort of meat or some sort of wet food along with that as well, a good combination. Personally, that's just me though, I think it's probably a better thing for them as well long term.
Physically looking after the dog, so what about things like claws, teeth and brushing the coats? We all like our dogs to look good, but there's obviously, you know, beneficial things to looking after, as I said, coat, teeth, claws.
Definitely some pieces of dogs. I think some folk don't realise when they get them on board that do need to get a lot of grooming on board. So there are certain breeds, well, some you don't have to, but most folk get them to look a certain way. So dogs like Lhasas, Shih Tzus, miniature schnauzers, even giant schnauzers too, they all get clipped very often. And it can be every like, sort of 4 to 6 weeks even. So some dogs shouldn't need to get clipped at all. Some dogs do. Nails, again, you shouldn't really need to clip their nails unless they're not being walked on much kind of hard ground. Or you get a wee chihuahua that comes in that's never walked at all. They need to get their nails clipped quite often as well. But you shouldn't have to. Obviously, some dogs have problems with their dew claws because obviously they don't get touch the ground much and need to get them clipped sometimes. Brushing, what the specialists say, so Norman Johnson, the dental guy, he says all dogs should get their teeth brushed once a day. Now, in the real world, that's probably not really going to happen. And if you're going to, then fair dues, go for it. Start from a young age, getting used to getting their mouth looked at, put your finger in their mouth first of all, getting used to being checked all over first of all. And then don't use human toothpaste, that's the main thing as well, because dogs don't need fluoride at all. It's more sort of like the abrasive, the scrubbing that you need to get rid of the biofilm of plaque and bacteria on the teeth as well. So brushes are the best thing as well, rather than sort of finger ones and that too. So
if they don't like having the teeth brushed, as my retired guide dog hated, detested it, you know, we did get things like dentist sticks for him, but again, they seem to work very well, but we also made sure that, you know, whatever the dentist stick he got, we took some out of his food. So we're just keeping an eye on the calories.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the companies say that they're quite low in calories, but they're not empty calories. They pretty much are. They are calories in them. So yeah, I think that's the right thing to do. If you get stick every day, that's totally fine. But yeah, make sure you're not getting too much food on board as well. You can get some more natural things too. Some folk quite like a fish jerky. So it's like sort of dried fish skins, same kind of thing. They're sort of chewing it and it kind of cleans teeth at the same time as well. So there are various ones out there, but the good ones are usually, they do actually definitely work.
And one thing which I would recommend as well is, you know, being a guide dog owner, you're encouraged to brush your dog every sort of maybe 3 to 4 days, or if they're really dirty, you'll give them a good brush. And what I found is not just making the coat look good, you know, taking out the old down, the hairs and things like that, it really seemed to almost, you never had that dog smell. You could go into the house and you think there's not a dog there. And I was always told regular grooming can really help.
Yeah, I think definitely also it helps like bonding in that as well. So if you start from a young age too, it's quite good. Getting used to getting brushed is like a nice like one-on-one time in that as well. So if you do it from a young age, most dogs love it and get used to it quite happily as well. But yeah, it helps stimulate the coat to shed really quickly. Don't get as much kind of grease building up as well. So yeah, totally. Yeah, it's all good.
Great stuff. And any problems, just go see your vet.
Yeah, any lumps or bumps or weird things you find, yeah, give us a ring.
Great, thank you very much, Kirsten. So there you go, some great advice there for those of you thinking about getting perhaps a new young pup, or even just if you have a dog, there's some good advice in there for you as well. So if you have a question for Kirsten on your pets, they don't just have to be dogs, there's all sorts of pets we can chat about as well, do get in touch with us. You can ask your question by calling 0141 357 3518. You can follow our Twitter feed, ask your question there at RNIB Radio, all one word. Or why not get in touch via the website, rnibconnectradio.org.uk. You can ask your question there. We will put them to Kirsten in our monthly catch-ups. For the moment, Kirsten, thanks for speaking with us once again on RNIB Connect Radio.
Yeah, no worries. Bye.